And now, let's turn to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local officials, residents, and personalities providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer. Moderated by Mike Malevsky.
Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome yet another personality into the studio today. Palmer City Clerk, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Good morning.
So you're here to focus primarily on elections. We might ask a few other questions, but
sure.
Elections are coming up here in October very soon. How about a summary?
What should we expect?
Yeah. What role? How does someone who lives in the city of Palmer vote in this election for those people who are going to be elected, for example, to the city council?
How do they vote? Well, there are a couple of options for them. There's a few. Right now, we are accepting applications for an absentee ballot. So if someone is not in the city, unable to participate on election day, which is October 2nd, they can send me an application and I can mail them an absentee ballot. And applications are due the 25th. We do start early voting on Monday. So if someone is here but wouldn't be able to attend and get to their poll location on October 2nd, they can go either to the Matsu Borough or the Division of Election in Wasilla, and they can vote starting on Monday up until Monday, October 1st at 5 p.m., and vote early. And then, of course, the real traditional way of someone being able to get involved and make sure their voice is heard is voting at their poll place on Tuesday, October 2nd. And we do have our two poll locations are the Matsu Borough and the Senior Center.
Only two?
We only have two in Palmer, yes.
Okay. Well, that makes it simpler.
Does it not? And someone can vote at either location. If you are registered to vote and your poll location is the Matsu Borough and you just so happen to be at the Senior Center, you can still go in and vote. You'll just be asked to vote a question ballot, which does still get counted. It's just a different process.
Right. Now, I've taken the opportunity to put up on the screen before me City of Palmer's webpage, and I see that all of the specifics are listed there. There's a City of Palmer regular election, October 2nd, and the candidates have been identified. And this year's a little bit different, as I understand.
It is, yep.
Because there are really two places on that city council that people will be voting for, but one seat has only an incumbent, and the other seat has three candidates.
Well, not exactly. We actually have
three seats.
We have three seats, and two incumbents are running for two of those seats. And then we have one that's an incumbent. And so what is happening is we will have on our ballot two candidate boxes for people to vote for, but they get to vote for three people. So the very first one is for two council seats for three-year terms.
Right.
And someone will be able to vote for up to two people out of the three that are running for that three-year term seat. Or they can put in a write-in candidate. There's not been a write-in declared at this time, but...
So just for a moment, because I know that in some other races, actually write-in candidates have won races.
They have.
U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski did a write-in and she ran. Mm-hmm. Is there any requirement for someone ahead of time who wants to say... I want to be a write-in candidate. I didn't get my name on the ballot, et cetera, but I'll talk to people and ask them to write in. Do they have to do anything official?
They do. They still have to go through the nominating process, and they have until the week before the election. So they're still going to have to fill out the application. They still have to get sponsorships, things like that.
Okay, so what you're saying is that just writing in names, even if someone got 50 names written in, if they haven't gone through that process, then those names are just discarded. Those votes are discarded.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah. They wouldn't be a qualified candidate. That's correct. So then the second box we will have on our ballot is a 2-year council seat. And that is for one person.
Right.
There is only one name on the ballot right now for that seat. So we really have 3 seats open.
Right.
2 of them are for 3-year terms, and 1 is for a 2-year term.
So this is made clear on the ballot.
Yes.
So that someone isn't going to be, there won't.
If there's any question or, you know, any type of confusion that may happen from that, it is clear on the ballot. We have voting instructions pinned up everywhere within the booths at the polling place and our election officials that will be at the polling locations and also at the early voting. All election officials are very aware of Palmer's process and how we vote and can help assist in clarifying anything.
Well, I think that pretty well, that nicely describes coming up to this moment when people are going to vote. So the election happens, day comes and goes.
Yeah.
And then what happens to all of those ballots that have been cast? What happens to the count, and what if they happen to be pretty close?
So we have election day. We only know on election day the number of ballots that were cast at the poll location.
Right.
So then all of those ballots that were cast that were voted during early election and all of those question ballots are then held, reviewed, and counted, or not counted, by the Canvas Board on Friday, October 5th this year.
Why not counted?
Well, maybe someone came into the wrong poll place, and they're really a Wasilla resident.
Oh.
So the Canvas Board looks through all of those question ballots and says, okay, is this person really a city resident or not?
So, and this has happened in the past. The election has been very close. People have been separated by only a few votes, and
they
really don't know until the Canvas Board meets and does its work.
That's right. We were just kind of looking at the history a little bit for Palmer, and there have been times where someone had been ahead of another candidate. Canvas Board time, we counted all the question ballots and the early votes, and that third person ended up being the one who got elected.
Right.
So that can happen. Just depends on how many question ballots, personal representative special need ballots we have, and early voting ballots. And then there's also been times where maybe they were really, really close and the gap just separated.
Right.
So
I know that what has been raised both at the council level and other places is the question about being properly registered to vote. And I know there's been a change because of the Division of Elections using the data, the information about residents on PDF, PFD applications to determine a person's place for voting. And that has been a question that's been raised: if someone had put down a different address than the one that had been associated with their residence, for example, then they'd have an opportunity to tell the Division of Elections which is which, et cetera. Do you have any sense of how that might play into this coming election here in Palmer?
I don't. You know, I don't get involved in the voter registration rules. That is a Division of Election responsibility. They manage and take care of all of that. If something like that comes up, someone knows they live here in Palmer, they have their driver's license that shows they have their Palmer address, they come to the Matsubara or the Senior Center and they want to vote, and they're not on our register rolls, you know, the precinct rolls, then they can vote a question ballot. And that will... Everybody who votes a question ballot, all of that information gets sent to the Division of Elections so that they can correct and fix anything that may have happened within their register rolls.
Okay.
So there is an opportunity. Someone, if they have their driver's license and they can show they do live here in Palmer, they can still vote a Palmer ballot. And then it'll be a question ballot, And then there will be that opportunity for, you know, it to be fixed in the system.
Okay, Mike Malevsky here. I'm talking with Norma Alley, who is the Palmer City Clerk. This sounds, is it a safe summary that there's really not a significant role in the operation of the election that is landing on your desk other than the certification of the election, because the process, I'm not taking away the work that's required to ensure right. that it's a proper election, but the process is handled pretty much by the borough or the state division of elections.
No, that's not true.
Okay, then
that
tell me what
true.
It is.
Yeah.
Because that's what
so every one of us, each of our governmental entities, we run our own elections. So I am responsible for the administration and the organization and putting together every detail of a city election. So the borough, even though we run our election on the same day, they have their own election process. I have my own election process. We do share the same election officials. They process our ballots the same time, but we have everything separated. I have my own ballot machines, my ballot boxes, my own ballots, my own forms, my own everything.
So at those two locations, you have all of that?
I will have all of that, yep. So the borough is incredible in helping collaborate with getting the equipment in place and organizing, you know, election officials. But I do my recruitment for my own election officials. So there is some collaboration with the borough, but I do administer and run from beginning to end the entire election for the city of Palmer as well. And the borough does theirs and the state does theirs.
It was sort of a leading question because...
Oh, I should have known. What's up?
Well, I've had the opportunity to begin listening to people talk about a ballot initiative, B3, that's appearing on the borough's ballot, mm-hmm. which is intended to move the date of the borough election from October to November, essentially associated with the general election then. Now, my thought is, from your answer, what does that mean for the city election? If that should pass and that should happen.
If that should pass, we will jump into that pool and figure it out at that point.
Just
it will be up
of,
to the council. The charter does say, have some clear statements in there, you know, that the voters approved when our election is to be held.
Okay.
It does also have this little line. It'll be something that will be looked into a bit more that states the council can designate a date for the election.
Right.
So the council could change the city of Palmer's election as well to November if that proposition is approved, so that we'll see the state, the borough, and the city's election all on the same day.
Okay.
So if they go through that process and they, you know, pass legislation to do that, whether they say that needs to go to the vote of the people or they pass legislation, that's the part of the detail that I need to continue to research, then we would move. But we would still be holding three separate elections on one election day, just like how the borough and the city, we still have our independent elections. We have separate ballots. We have separate machines. We have separate forms, documents, everything. That would still continue because of the way legislation is written at this point.
So my experience with going to the balloting locations is that things are pretty carefully done. And even if you go at a heavy time, there's an order and process to all of this. And it sounds as if then what would happen, say the nuclear option happens and this passes and legislation from the city moves forward and everybody's going to do it on the same day.
Yeah.
That would mean that if I walk into a balloting location, then I would be receiving essentially three ballots?
At this time, that's correct.
Okay.
Yes. There would have
because I would be identified, for example, as a resident of the city of Palmer, mm-hmm. lives in the borough and is voting in the general election.
Yes.
But there would be three separate elections, three separate ballots, and perhaps three separate machines I put the ballots into.
That's right.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. And what does it look like to make that change? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know right now.
That's good.
So, but as of right now, that is what would happen because that's how the state law requires.
Right. So it's possible that down the road, the state legislature could look at this and somehow, I mean, I guess an alternative might be, and I'm hypothesizing here, one right. very long ballot. And I know that in some other locations, mm-hmm. in Lower 48, for example, you yeah. have a multi-page ballot.
Sure, I've voted out. Those plenty of times.
Yeah, and you're mm-hmm. going to go around and around and around. And so the real, mm-hmm. Discussion that's ongoing at the present time, even around the issue of whether to move the borough's date, is does this make it harder to focus on the candidates and issues that are listed there or not? When you have maybe 20 things on one ballot to vote on at one moment in time when you come in, will that improve everything, the whole process where the voter will be able to say, yeah, I've got this, all this thing, or not? And I don't know that.
Wait, I don't think anybody knows that. Mm-hmm. No one can really say, and this is obviously, you know, how I feel, no one can say for definitive mm-hmm. any of that, right? Because every person is so unique. Every person has their own purpose and reason for voting.
Right.
There are some people that choose to vote only a borough ballot and they'll choose not to vote a city ballot or vice versa. And so we don't know. We don't know. But I do see a convenience of having someone go vote one day. Mm-hmm. You know, right now people are going and voting if they choose to vote. They're going in August for the primary, October for the borough and city, and then November for the general state federal
sure.
elections. So this does consolidate mm-hmm. that activity for the election or for the voters. So that could be a convenience. It could definitely increase our voter turnout and participation. But without having a magic ball, we just don't know.
Mm-hmm. Is this something, I know you belong to a variety of organizations, as sure. members of the council also do, AML and clerks associations, et cetera.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Has there been any discussion about this process as it's happened in other places or anything about the process itself in terms of how it has played out successfully or not?
Not amongst my circles, no. Okay. We haven't really gone into detail. Like I said, we're just waiting to see what the voters would like to do.
And
of course we will, you know, we'll go through with what the voters' wishes are and we'll tackle it. We're clerks. We got this. So well, no, there hasn't been deep discussion about it in the clerk, amongst the clerk world at this
okay.
point.
All right. Well, thank you for that.
Yeah.
So we have a few moments left and I know that the city clerk's office does a lot of stuff besides the elections. As a point of contact and certainly between, in some ways, the public and the council. Mm-hmm. You want to say a few words about any of that before we finish up?
Sure. I do also want to say that something the clerk's office is responsible for is helping in the recruitment for boards and commissions.
Oh, right.
Yes. Yay. So some people, you know, jumping in and being a city council member is really exciting to some. But to some, that may be a little overwhelming, and they want something that's just maybe not quite mm-hmm. quite to that level. They can come and volunteer and be a part of one of our boards and commissions. Right now, we are recruiting for open seats that we'll be filling those in the end of October for the person to start November 1st. And we have Airport Advisory, a Park and Rec, a Board of Economic Development, and a Planning and Zoning Commission, and that we're... We're looking for candidates, citizens to come in and fill out an application and be willing to serve for a 3-year term on one of those. And those applications are due the September 29th.
Okay.
29th, 28th. It's the Friday, last Friday of the month.
I think that's the 28th.
The 28th.
I believe that's correct.
That sounds good. The 28th, 29th, those dates
the
are going
Friday
around like
in
crazy.
September, right.
Yes, it's the last Friday in September. We also do, you know, help the council, as a clerk to the council, we process their meetings and getting that legislation up and open to the public, getting out to them. So we do have some things coming up here on our upcoming agenda. Something that I do want to mention is the
Short-term rental.
Thank you. I'm like, I know the acronym. What is it called? Short-term rentals. That's a will be on our next agenda. Well,
commonly referred to as B&B, but I think the ordinance change is making it a more broad definition to short-term rental rather than this kind of B&B focus.
Yes, which is why I didn't want to say B&B.
Right.
But yeah, it is. The ordinance is kind of being a little bit more encompassing. Instead of just saying bed and breakfast, it's really taking in more. So that will be on our November or September 25th agenda. And want to make sure that people are aware of that, that they read the ordinance. It should be out on the website next Wednesday. And if they have anything they want to provide input, they can send a letter my way or they can attend the meeting. Very much encourage them to attend the meeting, speak at the public hearing. So.
And I'm happy that you've pointed out that in addition to arriving at the meeting and speaking during the public hearing, that you can take time to write out an opinion, et cetera, and send that to you, and that'll be distributed to the council and the mayor and manager. And that's another way, and I know that in the past people have taken advantage of it and have provided thoughtful contributions and so on.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And not only thoughtful, but very impacting. You know, when there's something that they have in front of them that they can really read through, right. I've seen that impact the council in their decision and how they processed through a piece of legislation. I've seen things amended because of that. So it is a very important way of being able to let the council know how you feel.
All right. Well, Norma, Allie, thank you for coming in this morning as part of a series of Inside the City and sharing important information, not only about the election coming up, but also the opportunity for participation in city government.
Thank you very much for having me.
Okay. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local folks providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer, moderated by Mike Malevsky. This program is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, the station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.